Same principle, find people that have the abundance mindset and get around them always. And if I choose to be around them a little bit more, I'm going to learn how to be that way and therefore achieve that abundant lifestyle.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. In today's episode, we have my friend and master networker and also our, you know, one of the new hosts here at The Gentle Art of Crushing It, Mason Miranda. So, Mason, would you please share with us a bit about yourself and, you know, maybe share with us something that the audience, you know, might not know about you?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Doug. I'm really excited to be part of the team, excited to be talking with you. My first ever, so I hope I do pretty good with you here today. But I guess a little bit of background on me. I am a full-time stay-at-home dad, part-time investor. My biggest focus, my biggest joy in life comes from spending time with my wife and my son. And the whole reason that both my wife and I run the business that we do and that we do everything that we do is for our family. Our ultimate goals are to have as much time as possible together and just spend the rest of our lives together and building something both for ourselves and for our kids. And so anyway, with that said, a little bit of background, I guess, on how we got to where we are today. We've kind of lived all over the country, everywhere from New Jersey to Utah, New York, and South Carolina now. My wife and I met back in Utah, got married out there, moved up to New York where we bought our first house. And kind of what sparked our real estate bug was when we bought that house, we got it for a pretty great deal during the COVID times and accidentally flipped it over the course of about a year, year and a half. And when I say accidentally flipped it, you know, I'm a decently handy guy. And so I was able to do a lot of fixes. It was an older house. And so I was able to do a lot of fixes to it to where, you know, we came out of COVID time and the prices were just great. We were able to sell it for a little over 100K more than what we had actually paid for. And so that kind of, yeah, it was a big win for us. And anyway, with that, you know, that sparked our real estate bug. And when we sold that house, moved down to South Carolina, that's really when we started looking for real estate and getting into it.
I love that, Mason. Yeah, the accidental flip. How fun is that? And so great. And, you know, it's been great getting to know you over the past few months. And so this question here, you know, is a fun one in the sense of, you know, I truly believe that it's really important for each of us to define success for ourselves. So, you know, you kind of touched on it already, but, you know, would you mind sharing with us, you know, how you define success and, you know, where you feel like you've been able to sort of, you know, discover that so far in your life?
Yeah. So I guess for me, my version of success, I guess I would put it more of like it's moving. Success for me is moving towards achieving the goals that you set for yourself every single day. I think a lot of people think of success and see success as almost an end destination. I don't know that I particularly agree with that version of it. I would argue that success is more of a journey and getting little, I guess, daily wins every single day and just moving closer to where you want to go, who you want to be, and how you want your life to shape out to be. I would even say that, you know, failing all along the way is part of being successful. You know, you can't get to that end goal, that end destination, without sucking sometimes, you know, and without failing and screwing stuff up. And so anyway, I guess that's kind of how I see success and how I think your question was how I found, you know, success in my own life. For me, that's actually changed. That mindset of success has changed over the past few years. Originally I did think that I had the, you know, once I hit a specific mark in my life that I would be successful and I would feel, I don't know, I guess I would feel good. I would feel fulfilled. I would feel just ready to be happy for the rest of my life. And I realized that trying to reach that overall end goal, I've hit it, I'm done kind of thing, just wasn't, I don't know, it just wasn't doing it for me. And so, you know, now and how I found that success is it's been changing that mindset of what success looks like to me. And then putting in the time and the effort, both for myself as well as including my family and all of our business endeavors, to be included in that success and those goals and moving forward with what we believe we need to be moving forward with. And we've learned along the way that we've needed to change that goal, that end goal, and that success mindset as we're going. But the whole thing for us is that, you know, we're finding success along the way and finding joy in the journey.
Yeah. And I don't think it could be said any better than finding joy in the journey, finding success in the journey. And you know, I know a little bit about your day-to-day. I know you can get jam-packed with a lot of calls, right? Just like I am. And it's real easy for me to kind of go, okay, my day looks crazy. Now I'm, you know, in overwhelm. And so, you know, I really couldn't agree with you more that, yeah, what we need to do is go, hey, you know, for me, one of the things I do is I will focus on something that I'm grateful for. My family, that's huge. But also like, hey, this now is all that I have, right? And so what can I enjoy about it? Is there anything that, like, let me ask you this. Does that happen to you? Do you sort of fall into overwhelm or stress and anxiety? And then how do you get back into like enjoying the process from there?
Dude, you literally describe my life like on a daily basis. That's just such a thing. And you're so right. You can get so bogged down in just life is busy, you know, and as you get older and you're doing more and more things, life just gets busier and busier. And it's very easy to fall into anxiety and stress and feeling overwhelmed. And to be honest with you, I don't know that I have, you know, like a really good standard. I would say do this in order not be stressed and overwhelmed, because I'm still learning myself. I'm still trying to figure it out every single day. You know, I'm reading the book, The Gap and the Gain, and one of the things that it suggests in there is doing what you just said is if you're feeling anxious, overwhelmed, stressed, take like 2 seconds to take a step back and just consider, okay, if I'm feeling stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, why am I feeling those feelings and feeling that way? And recognize and take a look at everything you've been able to accomplish up to that point, right? And so if you're feeling, for example, super stressed, it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm not doing enough. Maybe I wasn't able to accomplish everything that I wanted to, or I'm not as far as I want to be on my goals, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe take 2 steps back for a second. Take a look at, okay, you know, I'm not where I want to be, but look at everything that I have already done. And sure, I've sucked here and I've screwed this up and I'm not here, but what did I learn all along the way? And what was I able to accomplish in between where I started and where I am now? And that really helps put things into perspective. And it helps you, just like you were just saying, Doug, being grateful for what you have been able to do. And it also kind of boosts your confidence. Might be a little bit of an ego boost, but it helps you feel better. So,
yeah, I'll take it however I can get it. Ego boost or, you know, anyway. But yeah, I love that. And I love that book. And, you know, I think something that's been coming up for me recently is like, so I, you know, work with Rob Tursell as my coach. I also have Joe Moffitt as a coach. And then, you know, Jason Dries does coach me as well. And they, in past coaches and friends, Brody Whitney. So they're real big on like, hey, don't forget to breathe, like breathe, right? And so I think, you know, if we incorporate that into The Gap in the Gain, right, which is an amazing book. All their books are awesome. And, you know, you just can't go wrong with those two things, because like literally all of us, if we're above ground still, right, we're blessed and we have a lot to be grateful for. We might have some really, really tough things that we're going through. Maybe, you know, maybe even some real strong illnesses. And however, we do always have something to be grateful for, focusing on that as opposed to the stuff that we're ungrateful for and imagining, you know, horrible scenarios taking place in the future, right? Or business endeavors not working out. That's literally just our imagination. We don't have to spend our time like focus on that, you know? So,
I love it. Well, and it's, I will say just from, and I'm not sure how many in the audience are religious at all, but you know, I know from a religious standpoint, you know, I do believe in a God, and for me and from my perspective, it's very much, you know, I feel strongly that everything happens for a reason. And so for me and how I approach it, it's, you know, I can take a step back and say, okay, maybe why is this happening and what can I learn from what's happening, especially when you're struggling like that. So anyway, just to that point.
I love it. Yeah. And, you know, I was going to mention earlier, like, even if we're not above ground, but we're in heaven, right? We have so much to be grateful for, right? So I'm definitely a believer as well. And, yeah, I love that perspective also, because what you're touching on there as well is humility, right? We can't learn, and it's hard to be humble when, you know, stuff doesn't go right, or we get chewed out by a boss, or we made a mistake with our significant other. But owning up to that, you know, mistake and apologizing for it, and then, you know, committing to do better next time, not make that same mistake again. This is, you know, one aspect of a success mindset that is totally key. Like, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I mean, I would argue that that whole, everything that you just talked about right there falls under the accountability category. Right? If you're willing to keep yourself accountable, even if something isn't quote unquote completely your fault, you still had an influence on whatever was going, even if it's only your reaction to what happened, you still Yes. influence whatever that situation was. And so if you're willing to hold yourself accountable for whatever you are responsible for, even if it's for the smallest thing, that mindset will help push you forward and get you light years ahead of what a lot of other people are thinking and how other people are doing it. Maybe not because, you know, they don't want to be accountable, or other people don't want to be responsible, but they just don't have that same mindset yet and are still continuing to develop that. So that accountability is so crucial and so key to being able to move forward.
I love it. And agree like 1,000,000%. It absolutely is. Yeah. Well, so, you know, we're talking about success. So would you mind sharing with us one of your, you know, favorite successes that you either solely created or were a part of?
I would probably say one of my largest successes is an ongoing success. And that would be my relationship that I have with my family, specifically with my wife and my son. And I call that ongoing relationship with them a success just because I'm personally, you know, I can look back now and look at the growth that I have been able to see in that relationship with my wife, even since we've been married. And it has morphed and changed almost daily. It has improved. It has gotten better. And with all of the problems that we run into, all of the solutions that we've had to find, all of the hard times that she and I have had to pass through over the past years that we've been together, has really helped us as a team be able to grow and improve personally. And so I would argue that for me, that success comes from the fact that, you know, I have my wife that I feel is on my team. I have someone else that is there to support me, just like I am there to support her and help her to grow just as much as she's helping me to grow. And now, you know, now that we have our son, Luca, you know, he introduces a whole other aspect of learning and growth and everything. But at the same time, it also accelerates that those feelings of success of when you're able to see, like, oh my gosh, he's a year old. You know, I've helped this mini me, this other human being, grow to be a year old. Oh my goodness, I didn't think I was able to do that before, but I can. And it's just one of those ongoing daily successes that I'm able to look back on and say, hey, those were really big wins.
Yeah, I love that, man. And, you know, what I'm hearing you say also is that you're constantly improving these relationships. There's that concept. I think it's Kaizen in Japanese, or Kanai, C-A-N-I, constant and never ending improvement. I learned that from Tony Robbins. Definitely didn't make that up. But the relationship with your significant other literally can make or break your life. It can make your life just as miserable as you can imagine. It can make it as amazing as you can imagine. I remember talking with a coworker a few years ago about how in the mornings I would have a mastermind with my wife, and we still do that today. It's not 100% like, you know, 7 days a week, 365, but we still do that today. And he's like, I would never want to do that. And I guess like in that moment, I couldn't understand that, but I'm imagining he didn't have the best relationship with his wife. You know, this is, again, such a powerful, you know, relationship to be committed to and continually working on improving, because, you know, that is a mastermind. Two brains, you know, when they come together and they're working on one problem, sort of create a third brain, like the power of three, sort of. Based off of, you know, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich anyways, but it definitely does feel like that. And so it's powerful, man. And I love that. What would you say is one of the most valuable lessons that you learned from this experience of consistently, you know, and continuously working on these relationships with your son and wife?
I think one of those biggest lessons would be that life isn't really about like a win-win or a keeping score kind of game. You know, and in my opinion, it's these kinds of relationships and the relationship even that you have with yourself, it's a lot more just about giving everything that you can every single day. And I mean, look, some days you're only everything that you can give is maybe only going to look like 20% compared to all of the other days that you're able to give. One day you're only able to give a total of 20% because you're just struggling, you're having issues, it's just not a good day. And so you're only able to give 20% one day, but maybe tomorrow you're able to give the full 100%, or you're maybe able to give 90%, right? But the goal is every single day, instead of trying to expect yourself to give the full 100%, expect yourself to give everything that you can. And every day it's just not going to look the same. And, you know, between my wife and I, for example, that looks like some days I am just so busy taking care of the kid and getting real estate stuff done that I am worn out by the end of the day. And so my wife walks through the door. She's had a really long day too. She was at work. She was making the bacon. She was doing everything that she needed to. She comes in and she notices that I am completely wiped from everything. So she says, "Hey, hun, go sit down on the couch for a second and breathe for half an hour. Let me take care of dinner tonight," you know? And that's not about us keeping score, and it's not about me keeping score with myself, but it's about each of us contributing to each other's lives and me contributing to my life the way that I feel needs to be, and contributing to her life the way that we feel like it needs to go, if that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense, man. I love that. Excuse me. A marriage is one of life's best teachers on how a relationship with human beings should work, right? So because for me, what I try to do, and, you know, probably not as good at this as I think I am, is like if I see something that can be done for my wife, I will do it. And I want to be doing, you know, more of that, you know, than I have been, yeah. But definitely not keeping score, because, you know, that basically will bless them. You know, it helps you actually feel good, right? It's the right thing to do. It strengthens that relationship. But it also, you know, continues to bring this relationship of their trusting you even higher, that trust, you know what I mean? And so it's a big deal, like just even, you know, doing what we say we're going to do, that whole, you know, our word is bond. That's another way we can build the trust. But yeah, let me kind of, you know, ask you this question. It's not so fun, but would you mind sharing with us one of your more incredibly difficult experiences that you've had in life, and maybe what you learned from that?
Yeah, so it was actually fairly recent for us as well. So when we sold our house and moved down to South Carolina, that was kind of a whole deal in itself. When we planned on moving to South Carolina, We were going to sell our house. We were going to move down. We were both going to be able to keep our jobs. We both were planning on working remotely. At that time, my wife was pregnant as well. Call us crazy for moving across the country while she's pregnant. But, you know, we just felt like it was right. We felt like it was the right time. Everything was working out okay. And we said, okay, let's just commit and let's go ahead and do it. So fast forward to right when we're about to close on the house, or about 2 days before closing on the house, my wife finds out that her job comes back and says, hey, we told you you're going to be remote, but it turns out, you know, you're not going to be able to be remote anymore. And so if you do want to keep your job, you're not able to move down to South Carolina. And so, you know, we got together and we're like, well, you know, we're basically sold already. You know, she'd be able to find another job when we moved down there. My job was going to be able to support us for the time being. Everything was going to be fine. So we're like, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and do it. So we said, okay, we still committed, went ahead and sold our house, blah, blah, blah. Moved down to South Carolina, got all of our stuff into storage. We were living out of an Airbnb. Wife's getting closer to due date and everything. That was all in, that was end of May. We're in the Airbnb trying to figure out how to find a house and everything. And by beginning of July, so this is about a month and a half later, I find out that I'm being let go from my job as well, just due to some issues that had popped up. And so both she and I, by mid-July, had lost both of our jobs after having just moved from New York down to South Carolina. New place, no jobs. All we had in, you know, was in savings was whatever we were able to save up before, plus what we got on the house, right? And so that whole time between finding out that both of us were losing our jobs, all the way up until right after Luca was born and we found out that Taylor was getting a job, that 2 month span was so, so difficult for us, mainly because both of us, we like to have a plan and we like to stick to it. And the fact that our plans had just gone to heck in a handbasket, it was horrible. And we were uncertain about with her having the kid and everything else that would come in between, figuring out insurance, how to pay hospital bills, excuse me, all of those things, it was just all kind of falling onto us. And so anyway, that was probably the hardest thing that we had to go through, and mentally was very, very draining. For me personally, on my own personal side of that, I also struggled a lot with feelings of self-worth. You know, I had based before then a lot of my personal success on, okay, am I able to keep a job and am I able to provide for my family? You know, and that's what everybody had told me, that, you know, if you're able to do that, then you're a successful father, you're a successful husband. And the fact that I lost my job, it was mentally very, very hard on me. And I struggled overcoming that mindset a lot. But, you know, my wife and I just decided, hey, you know, we're going to make it work and we're going to figure it out and we're going to just dig in, and we have to, you know, we have a son that's coming into the world. We have to figure it out. And it just kind of got down to the whole, when you're in desperation, you find solutions type deal. And that's what happened. And within 2 months, you know, Taylor had the kid. And then a month after that, you know, kudos to her, as strong and amazing as a woman that she is, she started a job, you know, a brand new job a month after having the kid. And I stayed home still job hunting, taking care of the kid and figuring all that that out. And, you know, now a year and a little bit later, we're doing okay. So
I love that story for three reasons, and I'm gonna try to remember them all. One, like you said, Taylor is amazing. That is literally no joke. I've never given birth. I've witnessed it, you know, six times. And so, you know, that is no joke. So hats off to her. Kudos to her. That is incredible. You know, two, you chose to move down to South Carolina anyways, you were sort of maybe, one could argue that you're throwing caution to the wind a little bit. But my perspective is you were choosing abundance. Literally, jobs are, you know, plentiful. If we have to, we can take whatever, a lower ranked job or whatever. You know, but you chose abundance. You said, this is where we want to go. In my opinion, that's a really good move from New York to South Carolina, just because I really enjoy the warmth, right? We were talking about that the other day. But, and then three, you know, talking about, you know, fatherhood and what it is to be a good father and husband and man, Ultimately, yes, contributing, taking care of your family is important. It may not always look like, hey, you're bringing home the bacon and, she's taking care of the kids and all that, but like you are taking care of your family. And, but even like right along, equally as important with that is the fact that you didn't let it hold you down and you got back up and you said, what does the fight look like? I'm going to get engaged in it. And I'm going to overcome this little battle right here, or huge battle, right? But along the way, in the grand scheme of things, of the, spiritual warfare, you could say this longer race that we're in. Let me shift this. So kudos to you as well. And
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let me shift this conversation a little bit and ask you this question here. If you were to be sent back in time to age 18, bringing with you what you know now, would you do anything differently? If so, what would that be to fast track your success?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually thought about this question probably longer than I needed to, but I think there were three things that I would have made changes back then. The first thing was mindset. I had a very set mindset on thinking about what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I think I would have tried to change my mindset from that to a how do I want to live my life. Instead of asking what I want to do, I wanted to ask myself, how do I want to live for the rest of my life? And just that little mindset change, in my opinion, would have helped me figure out how to move forward. The second one would have been, I would have kept my mind open to more opportunities for making money. And by that, I mean, by the time I was 18, really the only thing that I had been exposed to was employment, working a W-2. I didn't realize that there was this whole other spectrum of making money, everything from starting your own business, real estate, stock market, all of these other things. I would have done more due diligence on my end to figure out what are the alternate paths that I can take in order to make money. And then finally, the third thing, and this is probably going to be the most unpopular, at least from my perspective, and I know with a lot of the people that I know, I don't know that I would have gone to college. And just the reason being is that I understand myself a lot more today than I did back then. And so I don't think that going to college was bad for me back then, because college can be a very, very uplifting and positive thing for a lot of people. But for me and the way that my brain works and how I work, college just wasn't the right move. College taught me very specific things, and I'm grateful for some of the things that I was able to learn while there. But my wife has also helped me to understand that the way that I work is very much with an entrepreneurial mindset, and I don't like to be bogged down with very specific parameters. I need a lot of leeway and openness to be able to figure things out on my own, which translates to I'm not the best employee, just because having to constantly go to a manager and have very specific guidelines from the manager, that just doesn't work. I don't do very well with that. And I understand that in myself, and I recognize that in myself. And college and that kind of schooling is very much geared towards preparing you to become an employee. And so I don't know that I would have gone to college knowing that about myself when I was 18.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, we're born here, especially in the U.S. and probably, a lot of other countries out there. We get started in public school, then we go to college, and then we become an employee. And the public school and college that we're engaged in for 24 years or whatever, of our life, literally just teaches us how to be a good employee for the most part, right? And so it's pretty incredible that, people just even strike out on their own and become entrepreneurs at all. Right. So, that's huge. And I love that. And knowing that about yourself, because there's actually, in this culture here, and it might be changing, but the way that I was raised, there's a lot of shame in actually not being a good employee, which is mind blowing. So again, more kind of like, cultural, brainwashing standards or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If there was a key that, unlocked or helped unlock success in your life, what would you say that is?
I would probably say that key would be surrounding myself with the right kind of people. You know, there's that phrase that you hear thrown around all the time. You know, I think it's along the lines of "Show me your closest five friends, and I'll show you who you are." Something along those lines. But essentially, the principle is who you surround yourself with is who you become. And so if you surround yourself with, you know, in our case, in being part of the masterminds that we are, if we surround ourselves with real estate people that are successful in real estate and make a decent amount of money or a lot of money and are healthy and have healthy familial lives and physically are healthy and are able to go and live the kind of lives that they want, achieving their goals, if you surround yourself with those kinds of people, you're going to find yourself doing those same things and accomplishing your goals and being healthy. If you surround yourself with negative people and people that drag you down, well, then that's how your life is going to end up, because that's who's around you and influencing you all the time.
I would a million, gazillion, trillion, infinity percent back what you say through experience. So, you know, absolutely. I have had times in my life where I was following the wrong group of friends, and that's exactly what I was doing. And I've actually built a pretty strong negative/scarcity mindset during these times. Okay. And so, and then the opposite, spending times around, you know, awesome mentors and who are really like crushing it in life. And you notice that they will always be optimistic, always encouraging you in your dreams. They actually literally like love you in you know, unconditionally, and want what's best for you. Now, with that being said, you know, have you noticed, or do you, what would you say is one of the best ways that you can think of or that you know of to go from a scarcity mindset or non-success mindset to an abundance mindset or, you know, success mindset?
Same principle. Find people that have the abundance mindset and get around them always. I mean, if the issue that you run into there is that a lot of that scarcity mindset, it feeds off of other people, right? And so if you surround yourself with other people that have scarcity mindset, you're going to be constantly thinking that way, because that's how they talk, that's how they act, that's how they live their lives. And so if all you know is how they're living their lives and thinking, then that's how you're going to do it immediately. But if you start getting around other people that think a different way, that act a different way, that live their lives in a different way, then all of a sudden your brain is going to start saying, oh, wait, you know, there's this other way of doing things. And if I choose to be around them a little bit more, I'm going to learn how to be that way and therefore achieve that non-scarcity mindset and that abundant lifestyle.
That's the key, man. And you know, it's interesting. I interviewed David Perret from, you know, the military millionaire. And it just kept coming up for him, in, you know, over and over and over, that like networking is the key to success. Networking is the key to success. And it's so true. It's so huge. And there are so many people out there that want to help the audience members, like you listening, and they want to help us. And so we need to reach out and build those relationships and always be looking for, you know, how we can add value, right? Like, maybe ABV as opposed to ABC, always be, you know, adding value, not always be closing. Anyways, so as we are getting close to wrapping this up, and Mason, thank you so much again. I appreciate your time very much. Do you have 1 to 3 books that you would recommend, and maybe 1 tech recommendation? And you can go with multiple books if you want, or just one.
Yep. So I have 2. Gap in the Game, like we talked about earlier, by Dan Sullivan. I would argue that is, for me, you know, I've read a lot of, you know, either self-help books or, like, I don't know what you call them, personal/business development books, whatever you call that genre. And The Gap in the Game has probably, for me, been the most helpful, because it really helps lay out what mindset you need to have personally in order to figure out how to add value to other people, right? So you kind of start there and work on yourself so that you're then able to go out and add value to other people, just like you were just saying, Doug. And then to complement the gap and the gain, I would strongly recommend reading The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John Mann, I believe is his last name. And that, for as much as I love The Gap and the Gain, The Go-Giver is probably my all-time favorite book, because it teaches you from that gap and the gain mindset and being in a place where you can give to other people. The Go-Giver says, okay, take these principles. This is how you go, and this is how you help other people and you give to others. And the whole principle behind that book is give more to others and you receive just as much or more in return. But you give to others not so you can receive, but you give to others because you actually give a crap about another person. You know what I mean? And so Those are probably the two books that I would recommend. And then tech wise, I mean, honestly, just I would find a really good calendar app. I know it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what we were just talking about, but for me and just my own personal scheduling and keeping myself sane, I have to have a calendar and time block and all of that set up so I don't just lose myself throughout the entire day of trying to help other people and add value to others. So
yeah, I agree with you, man. It's so crucial. You know, a calendar, and they're so simple and free and everywhere, right? So that book, The Go-Giver, it's interesting because we're all, you know, we all have different personalities. And for me and my personality, and it's been far too long since I read that book, I got to go through it again because it's one of my favorite books also, because basically, you know, it does talk a lot about, you know, like essentially like what you just shared, the law of reciprocity. And you embody that, by the way, Mason, you absolutely do. It's what I believe. I know it's true. When you read truth, like you'll know it, right? And so, yeah, Go-Giver, man. What a good book. I got to get on that one again ASAP. So awesome, you know, book recommendations. The Gap and the Gain, also amazing. Let me ask you this. How can our audience support you? Is there a particular type of deal you're looking for they can send you away, or any way they can support you, connect you with somebody or anything like that?
Yeah, honestly, I just love meeting people. I mean, so if, you know, if anybody needs help with whatever it is that they're specifically in real estate, I guess, because that's the most that I can talk to. And I can't even talk to a whole lot yet. You know, I'm still fairly new myself, but I love, even if I don't know how to help someone, I love being able to connect them with someone that does. You know, in the past few months, I've been able to be connected. I've connected with a lot of people. And so even if I can't help someone, I'm pretty positive I can connect you with someone that can help you. And so, you know, just, you know, people in real estate and you want to connect, that's great. You know, I'm always open. You know, my biggest focus is in the commercial multifamily space and the self-storage facility space. And so if anybody has deals, want to send them my way, yo, I'm always open to seeing them, as well as, you know, partnering up. Specifically, you know, you and I, we have our team kind of go in and we have people that we're working with. But whether it comes to finding deals or even capital raising, you know, if there are people that have capital that they need to place, you know, we're happy to work with you and partner up with you and help you place that capital into a property that's going to make you the money that you need.
Yeah, I love that. And awesome. What's the best way for the audience to connect with you?
Either Facebook or Instagram. Facebook, it's just my name, Mason Miranda. My Instagram handle is The Real Man Miranda. Yeah, just reach out, DM me, follow me, whatever. I'm happy to help out.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Mason, thanks again for your time. This is definitely one of my most favorite interviews right here. I'm, you know, so excited for you joining us and, you know, to be able to see what you're going to do and the amount of connections and, you know, blessing people through this podcast as well. It's just going to be, you know, so much fun. So with that being said, thank you all to our audience, our listeners and viewers for, you know, checking out another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. And again, thank you, Mason, so much for joining us today.
And thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, sir. And with that being said, we will say a sayonara. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor, and that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.